Welcome to another Gaslit podcast, guys, and thank you very much indeed. Wherever you are listening in the world, thank you very much. This week's episode, I'm going to be talking about the one thing that I absolutely hate and dread doing in plumbing. I'm going to go into that, which I had to do last week. I didn't really have a choice, so I had to do it, and I'm going to run through what it was and how to do it. And if you ever come across this situation, the thought process that I go for doing it as well. So listen on and I'll go into it. But first of all, here's my friend Sean to tell you about the podcast and why we do it. Thank you for listening to another Gaslit podcast, the show to help DIYers, new people into the industry, and those who are wanting to expand their knowledge. Each week we'll pick a topic and go into details, and with special guests and listeners' questions answered, we will look forward to some of the conversations. So let's get back to the show. Right, okay, well, thank you very much, guys. This week's episode, I'm going to be doing another little giveaway. So during the course of this podcast, I'll give you a little code word. And if you email that into us at podcast@gaslect.net, you'll be entered to the draw, and you'll be in it to win it. So it'll just be running for this week. So this podcast is coming out on, it'll be Tuesday the 12th of November, just for this week. So get in it to win it. And it's going to be an Echo Pop, one of those little smart speaker thingy bobs. But carry on listening to the rest of the episode, and I'll give you the secret code word. So what did we get up to last week? So we got called out to a small commercial premises. I won't go into where it is or what the nature of the business is, but it was a small commercial premises, and they had a problem with their hot water. So they said, we've got no hot water coming out of the taps anywhere. So, okay. So we had one of our guys go along there, and he was sort of struggling. It's quite a large property. And I said, oh, don't worry, you crack on and I'll come along and catch up, I'll sort it out. And it was a gravity hot water system. So we had the tanks up in the loft, and we've never inspected these loft tanks before. It comes down to an unvented cylinder in a cupboard, like a bathroom area. And I went into the taps downstairs, and sure enough, dribble, dribble. Loads and loads of coal coming through, dribble, dribble goes the hot. Oh, so it goes upstairs, exactly the same, dribble, dribble. So I'm working my way around, and there was some compression fittings just above the hot water cylinder. So I set up my towels and stuff like that, got it ready and a bucket, crack the nut off, give it a wiggle, nothing coming out the top of the cylinder, goes up into the loft, two water tanks up there, full of water. Some really old broken valves. Is someone turned the valve off and snapped it in the closed position? What have we got going on here? So I ended up having to put some compressed air and water down the vent pipe to blow down on the and put some pressure on the fill, because basically the hot water cylinder is full of limescale. And so as it comes out, the only head of pressure that we've got that comes down is just from the bottom of the water tank to the sort of the top of the cylinder. That's how it's calculated, and that's at 0.1 bar per meter. So the amount of head of pressure there was, say 3 meters, so it's 0.3 of a bar. And where there is so much limescale, and we're changing the cylinder and the tanks over this week, where there's so much limescale, it just blocked the cold feed because that's now under limescale. So I tried pushing it one way, that didn't work. So I tried pushing it the other, and then presto, it all started coughing and spluttering and all got working again. So we're down to change that tank because of the environment that it's in. We can't have limescale, and then certainly we can't have the limescale to the level of where it's blocking the cold feed on the cylinder. So we're going to get that done. But while I was up in the loft, one of the things I did notice that within the water regulations and G3 water regulations, we need to be able to support water tanks correctly. So that's taking the weight of the water cylinder, the water tank in the loft, making sure it's on a firm level base. But one of the things is it's making sure the base is actually larger that the water tank's sitting on. So it distributes the weight and supports the tank properly. And if you have a look on my business Facebook page for last week, you'll actually see some pictures that I put up there. It must have been 100 mil, 4 inches too small. And you can start to see the water tank sort of sagging under its own weight on the base, because the base was too small. It was there was two water tanks. There was one behind it, and it's been linked through. So we're going to change it to one larger one, which keeps everything so much more simpler. We would have gone unvented to save all of this, but because it's such a large installation, and we've only got 15 mil cold pipe for the cold water feed coming upstairs, we're going to have to stay with a vented system. But it's all going to be to building regulations, with all the jackets and the fly mesh screens for the overflows and all the bits and pieces. And it can be properly insulated up in the loft. But yeah, you can really, really see that the tanks are just literally just sagging around. And then there's a 28 mil cold feed coming off the tank, and that's all sort of stressed and hanging around. So that'll all be changed over next week, so we can get all that done. Yeah, so that's going on. So the big job that I did, which I absolutely dread, and it's called snatching. So when we were in a situation where we've got to change over a water fitting, so let's say it's a water valve or a stopcock, something along those sort of lines, and we can't turn off the water properly the other side of it. So now we know that there's pressure and flow of water downstream of where we've got to upstream where we've got to be turning the thing off or replacing or working on. So I had this situation, and I had to change a valve over, and knowing that I couldn't isolate the water from the other end, so I disconnected all the other side. So that was all fine. So that was all fine and being managed, but I just had this valve, and I had to unscrew the valve from a threaded fitting and screw the new one on. And it was in a bit of a sensitive area for water damage, so I had to set up some towels and a dirty dust sheet in the van. So I set that up to mop up water, and I got my fleece jacket on, and I made sure I did that up, and took my phone and my keys out of my pockets. I'm like, I'm going to get wet here, and I really, really, really hate it. I just don't like the unpredictability factor of it all. And I do have my plan A, and I do have a plan B, and I do sometimes think about plan C as well. So my plan A was remove said fitting and then wind on new fitting, and all glorying, you know, high fives and claps and whoops all round. Then my worst case plan B is that doesn't work. And then I'd have to try and get the old fitting and then put that back on and then start thinking about a plan C. So one of the things that where a lot of people go wrong with snatching is that they'll get a valve and they'll close it, and then you've got water coming out uncontrolled, and then they're trying to squeeze onto the fitting, and water goes everywhere. You're trying to do it blind. You've got water in your face, water in your mouth, all over your glasses, in your hair, shooting up your arms. It is going everywhere because you're trying to hold back all of that water, and that's coming through at 1, 2, 3 bar of pressure, you know, even 5 liters a minute. You know, it doesn't matter what the flow is at that point. You're going to get sprayed everywhere, and it's difficult, and it's chaotic, and you're panicking trying to get this thing on. So the easiest way is really plan B is get your pipe, get your valve, and then open the valve up and then connect it to a drain hose or a garden hose of some description. Connect it up, twist it, so you've got loads of twists going in the opposite direction that you're going to be turning on the fitting onto the pipe. And as soon as you take it off and you have all your cloths and your buckets ready, you then turn and screw on the new one, but as an open and ended valve, and you don't get all that squirting because the pressure's got somewhere to go, and it's going down the pipe. And I've seen it where we've had to make it up with like bits of gaffer tape and stuff because we couldn't get it to fit properly. Only as a little temporary thing. It's not holding any pressure because the pressure is being vented at the other end of the pipe, the drain hose anyway. So it's just getting that on, getting it wound, getting it where you want it, and then turning it off. And then so that's really what my sort of plan A is really on that sort of thing. But always have, phone's ringing, beeping away. So always have a second plan just in case up your sleeve. If you can't get it off and you can't isolate it, what you're going to do? Even if you're confident that the pipe is empty that you're about to cut, what if it isn't? What are you going to do? Where's the, you know, if you can't isolate the water. Well, I've done it many times. I go, I'm going to cut the heating pipe. But you know what? Just in case there's a few here, I'm going to turn the stopcock off and I'm just going to open up the kitchen tap hot and cold, or you've got like a combi boiler. Just in case, even if you're cutting the right one and you catch the other one, you got a saw, you know, if you're using a recip to cut the pipe or you can't get in there properly and you're pushing one pipe out of the way to get another and it stresses it and it breaks a fitting, always have your plan B. Always have, some towels and some buckets to the ready. And have your phone and keys out your pocket, because if water's going everywhere, you're going to get soaked at some point. So you don't want to add insult to injury to get in your van. Your van don't start because the keys are flooded. Then your phone doesn't work and you can't even ring anyone because that you left that in your pocket as well. So always have a disaster plan and what ifs. Some people that there's one person I did learn off about the snatching technique. And I phoned him up afterwards and went, oh, God, guess what, mate? I was thinking of you earlier on when I was doing that snatching. He's like, oh, yeah, it's fine. But it gets my heart going every time. I think it's just that lack of the unpredictability of what can go wrong. Certainly when you're dealing with sort of, there was like a 3/8 fitting that went into a bush for a half inch fitting, and the new valve I had was half inch. So I had to, if I'd have wound that out, got the disaster water going everywhere, try to wind it in, it wouldn't have worked. So I'd have had to go to get the old fitting back on again under pressure this time, because I didn't have a hose on it, get that one back on and then to try and then undo the pair. So fortunately I looked at that and I went, oh, okay, that looks a bit smaller, offered it up. I was like, yeah, that is a half inch bush, so I need to wind out that fitting rather than the other fitting. So yeah, just bear that in mind. Always have your little disaster plans. So this week we got a lovely lady, and she's got a one pipe heating system off of an old back boiler and gas fire. So all the radiators were fitted in the sort of 50s, 60s, and all the pipe work. So hopefully I can bring you some, do you a lovely little video of some of the fittings, because they do have slightly different T's on one pipe heating systems. To allow the water to flow up through the radiators and then back out again. So hopefully next week I can do a little video podcast and I can show you some of the little bits and pieces that we've come across from that job there. So yeah, super looking forward to that. The whole team's on it. We got another guy as well, Mitchell. He's going to come over. I've known him for a good few years. He's going to come and give us a hand on the job as well, just to make sure we get it all done and dusted on time for the client. So yeah, it shouldn't be a problem. We've got 3.5 days to get it all done. But yeah, new combination boiler, a lovely Valent, 30 kilowatt pure, going in with a whole new radiator system and obviously two pipe heating. So yeah, super looking forward to that for next week. And the whole team are going to be there. So that means it's going to cost me a fortune in lunches when we all get together and I'm there as well. Now I've got some training next week to do down in Dorset, Tuesday afternoon. I've got to drive to Dorset. We've got a big job in a school coming up on Saturday next week. So we've got somebody helping me. But yeah, just in case, I'm going to go and do my Fusion Weld, which is a technique on using plastic pipe and plastic fittings. And it's got like a heater element in it. And you have a device, a box, that puts electrical current through it, heats it up, and it melts the two surfaces together for a permanent bond. And that's on a gas pipe in a school. So we've got that coming up, which is lovely. Fantastic. That'll be next Saturday morning I'll be doing that. So I should be able to get some video footage and stuff, because the school will be shut. There won't be any children there, so there shouldn't be any issues with getting that done. And I'll run through some bits and do some little videos on that as well and how it's all working. So that concludes this episode this week. So thank you very much indeed for listening, guys. Thank you. Thank you for being patient with me. As you say, it's just me doing it. I'm lining up some guests to come on and talk to. So I was hoping to have someone here today from a plumber's merchants, but he couldn't make it. I'm recording this on a Sunday afternoon. He's got some family commitments. So I'm also lining up a guy who does water filtration on a commercial scale as well. So that'd be fantastic, the different types of mediums that they use for large scale water filtration and some of the slightly smaller stuff that might be a bit more relevant to what we do when you start looking at, water authorities in different countries and large swimming pools and leisure centres and stuff like that. But it should be an interesting talk. I've known him for a good few years. So, super looking forward to that as well. The secret word to email him for the competition this week is rubber duck. Well, thank you very much indeed. Once again, you take care, guys. Have a fantastic week. If you've got any questions that you want me to put forward and get answered for you, podcast@gaslec.net. Have a great week. Take care. Bye.